Did you hear what was repeated three different times? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. For Psalm 42, that's verse 5 and verse 11, and in Psalm 43, it's verse 5. Many translations, particularly older ones, have these as one psalm. They weren't originally necessarily meant to be split apart. And there's lots of reasons why they back up that view. But we like having 150 psalms in our book. And so it's split almost arbitrarily between the two. Together, if you look at it as one whole, which I chose to do, you have three sections here. You have a longing for temple worship, for being able to go to church. Can you imagine a longing for church? You have a feeling of being downcast and forgotten by God. You have a plea for vindication and for a return of the temple and its joyous worship. So if you look at the book of Psalms as a whole, you'll see that it is divided into more than one book. This is the first, these two psalms are the first ones in book two. It's the first time that you have a psalm that's not attributed to David. There are a couple of psalms in the first ones that don't have anybody's name, but this is the first time that you have psalms that are attributed to somebody else. And it says that it's written by the sons of Korah. And Korah was one of the Levitical part of the tribe of Levi, one of the musicians who was put in charge of temple worship by David and Solomon. So that's kind of the background that he would have had, that the sons would have had. They were musicians. And remember, the Psalms were songs. These, we read them, but they're songs, like we sang about the deer panting for the water. That's an example of singing a verse from the Psalms. Since they were written by musicians, these two psalms, it's no wonder that they're longing for temple worship, because without being able to do that, they can't use their gifts and they can't express themselves in the same way. That's enough background. I always think it's good to get that core of what's going on in Scripture as we study. Verse 1 and the beginning of verse 2 of Psalm 42 says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." And I want you to picture an extremely thirsty deer. The day is hot. The deer has spent hours foraging for whatever food it can find. It's been avoiding predators as best it can. It's panting. It's finding it hard to cool off and to catch its breath. Its heart is probably beating a little fast because it is so thirsty. Now picture a time when you were thirsty. Maybe you were out doing yard work and it's hot outside and you're out there and you're trimming the bushes or you're working in the garden. Or maybe you were chasing kids and you're so thirsty and you're so tired. Remember when you've been tired, those of you that work out at the gym and you're so thirsty. I think of when I go for a hike in the mountains here. And I'll be walking and walking and walking, and finally it's like, I gotta stop and take a drink. I always take my water with me so I can be hydrated. How does it feel when you finally get that glass or cup of cold water? How does that feel? Just think about that for a minute. How refreshing is that? Now think about God. Have you ever wanted him so desperately that it felt like you would collapse without him? Have you ever wanted him that much that you were desperate to, as the psalm says, taste and see that he is good? In Matthew 5:6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." We're meant to thirst for God. We're meant to hunger for God. Psalm 63, David writes, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Psalm 107 says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deed for mankind, for he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." Before God can do that, we have to actually be hungry and thirsty for him. And sometimes life gets in the way, and we don't think about him in a way that we are longing for him. Jesus tells the woman at the well, when they're discussing the water and she's giving him a drink, he says, "Everyone who drinks this water, the physical water, will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The question is, are we thirsty for God? We'll come back to that. Remembering when worship was good. This is part of this psalm. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" And listen to this verse. This is about remembering. "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." We don't know why the author, why the son of Korah can't go to the temple to worship. We don't know. He may be in exile. We don't have this psalm dated, so we don't know exactly when this took place. But we do know in scripture that the Israelites are taken into exile several times. And so they would not have a temple in which to worship. This author may be prevented by circumstances. Sometimes there are things that keep us from coming to worship. And maybe he's ill. We don't know. But how much would we miss it if we couldn't come here to worship again? How much would we miss it? Some people would grieve. Some would find another church. Some would just stay home. That's what's happened to our Bethany friends. Some don't worship anywhere. Some have become part of another congregation, and some come, they go together to different churches. And they're the wandering Lutherans, that's what they call themselves. And they go from place to place, but I tell you, they miss their worship. They miss what they used to have. Do you agree that we need to be a church that people would miss terribly? We need to be that kind of church, and we need to be in constant prayer, listening and discerning for how God would have us be, that people can't help but want to be with us, to worship. The next part of the psalm speaks about feeling overwhelmed and forgotten by God. It's the first time that this is asked, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" The Message translation, I love this. "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues?" I love that. It just takes it to a very contemporary thought. Thinking about my soul crying the blues. In the Hebrew, the word downcast means brought low, to be depressed. That kind of deep, deep depression. And the word for disturbed, this was amazing to me. I'm going to read you the whole thing it says in the translation. "To be in great commotion or tumult, to rage, to war, moan, clamor, to cry aloud, to be disquieted, to be loud, to mourn, to be moved, to make a noise, rage, roar, be troubled, make in tumult, be in an uproar." That's strong. Disturbed doesn't quite cover that. This is really to be upset. Has your soul ever been this upset? Has it been this upset? Maybe when someone has passed away. Maybe when someone loses something else. Maybe when a marriage falls apart. And understand, this is not about emotion. This is not about how we feel. This is about our soul. Our soul is our connection to God. It's the pathway that the Holy Spirit travels. It's our connection to Christ. Has it ever been that disturbed? Mine has. Mine has. What is the psalmist's advice when we go through times like that? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He is telling his soul to put its hope in God and saying that no matter what, he will continue to praise God and to count on God's promise of salvation. Remember a story in the Old Testament where someone said, basically, no matter what, I will trust him? Ever heard of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? The book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, bless you, or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a fiery or blazing furnace. Then we will see whether your God is able to rescue you from my hand." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." And this is the key. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." Even if he doesn't, I will praise him. I have to tell you something funny. I couldn't use this story without sharing this. This was something that came across something. And it was a sign for a coffee roaster. And you know, I used to be in Seattle, so coffee girl, Starbucks, you know, place, all that good stuff. The sign said, "Master roasted, never burnt." That's at the top. And then at the bottom it said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and a bean to go. Coffee roasters." And I thought, oh man, that is the best sign ever. A bean to go. So the huge question for us is, will we praise God no matter what? Will we praise him no matter what happens? There's a song by Carrie Roberts. It's quite a few years old now. And she sings, "I'm running back to your promises one more time. Lord, that's all I can hold on to. I gotta say this has taken me by surprise, but nothing surprises you. Before a heartache can ever touch my life, it has to go through your hands. And even though I keep asking why, I keep asking why, no matter what, I'm gonna love you. No matter what, I'm gonna need you. I know you can find a way to keep me from the pain, but if not, I'll trust you no matter what." That's faith. Putting your hope in God happens when we remember his faithfulness. Verse 6 says, "My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." He's no longer remembering worship. He's remembering God himself. Lament psalms, which is what these are. These are not the praise, happy, happy ones. These are the ones that deal with pain. Typically have a structure of three sections. "Why have you done this to me?" Asking God, "Why have you done this?" "Yet I remember when I felt your faithfulness. Therefore, I will trust you." Remembering God and how he has moved in our lives is key to being able to continue through the really, really tough times. The way we don't lose hope is to remember all the times God's been there for us in bad times and good. Add to that thanking him for those times, And his spirit will start to seep into your heart. And healing can take place. The third section of this pair of Psalms is asking for God's vindication. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. Is it okay to ask God for vindication? Happens all the time. It's here. It's in Scripture. It must be okay. The key is that it's not done with malice. It's done as a plea. Please, Lord, help them to see. Help them to see who you are. This is not asking for punishment. It's asking for them to see clearly what God is doing. Notice that the psalmist doesn't dwell on this request. Instead, he questions God once again. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? He doesn't use his energy and waste it worrying about people who are doing him injustice. Instead, he goes even deeper with God. And that's what we need to be looking at. He says, the psalmist writes, send me your light and your faithful care. Betty read that as truth. And it's both work in the context. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God my God. The word for light is illumination, making things clear. So that we can see what God is doing. The truth, the care, it's God's truth, not our own. His certainty, his trustworthiness that matters. Focused on staying focused on God. And then a final time, the psalmist writes for the third time, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him. I will once again praise him, my Savior and my God. What do we do when we are down in the blues, down in the dumps and crying the blues? What do we do? Do we fret? Do we whine? My friend Linda gives me 15 minutes of whining. She said, then you're done. Buck up, little camper, she says to me. And I love that. I love that. She helps me focus back on God. Well, let me give you some practical things. Before you're down in the dumps, if you're in a time right now where you're not in the dumps, which is awesome, start keeping a journal. If you're not doing that already, start doing that. Write down when God is faithful. Write down the answered prayers. Next, get thirsty. Get thirsty for God. Continue to build up times of silent prayer. We've worked on that a little bit in the time I've been here. Continue to build it up. Can you do 5 minutes now? We could try it. Nah, not today. Continue to spend time reading the Bible. Maybe even consider attending one of the Bible studies that are going on. And then worship. Worship by yourself, in the shower, in the car, anywhere, in your house. Sing hymns. Sing praise songs. I find that singing praise songs makes it really hard for me to stay as down. It's so healing. God created music for us to be able to uplift us. I remember a time when it was a tough time. I don't remember what was going on, but I remember going to the beach, which you probably come to realize is my happy place. And I was just distraught before God, and the waves were crashing, and I started singing to the waves, great is your faithfulness. And I could remember, it was amazing to me that I could remember the words all the way through. And I belted that song out into the waves. Nobody could hear me. They just heard the ocean. And it was so healing. Worship does amazing things. And then worship here, regularly. I shouldn't be talking to you. I should be talking to those that aren't here. But for all of us, make worship a top priority. Because when one of us can't pray, the rest of us can pray for that person. When one of us can't sing because we're in so much pain, the rest of us can sing. When one of us can't stand sitting here without crying, the rest of us are here to support. Community is the way God created us to be. And it's an important priority. Remember God. Honestly, how often does he cross our minds during the week? For some of us, a lot. For some of us, not so much. I've said before, this is something I've done when I want to really be just intentional about prayer and about stopping. I've set alarms on my phone. And the alarm will go off and I'll just take a minute or two, or however long I feel at that moment, just to stop, to remember God, to thank him, to ask him for strength if I need it. 3 times a day, could you do that? 3 times a day. Maybe you don't need an alarm on your phone, but it helps me. And be honest with God about wishing that justice would happen, but then leave it at the cross. Right? The vindicate part, it's okay to ask for vindication, but then leave it at the cross. And then repeat the steps as necessary. And as you start to feel better, guess what? Your job is to take that comfort to someone else. If you're going through a time that's not a difficult time right now, you can remember back to when things were hard, and you can bring that comfort. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." We have work to do. This psalm helps us to understand how to deal with pain ourselves and then how to help others as they go through it. I love the way the message, the whole part of that section, the downcast my soul part, says, "Why are you down in the dumps, dear soul? Why are you crying the blues? Fix your eyes on God. Soon you'll be praising again. He puts a smile on my face. He is my God." Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the instruction of your psalms. Thank you for letting us know it's okay to feel downcast. But Lord, thank you for the direction that the psalm gives us as to how to work our way through that pain with you walking right beside us. Lord, I ask for your healing for those here who are in pain, who are dealing with tough, tough things and grieving. Lord, I praise you for the times that it's not so hard. Help us to know those whom we can comfort. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.